I was on a ship, and I saw this huge anchor, humongous ship, all these, like 16 levels. I did see an anchor. It wasn't doing any good there. You can have an anchor on your boat, but is it operating in the way that God wants you to have that anchor? We are told in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The surrounding verses tell you that anchor is Jesus.
That is June Hunt, and you're listening to Hope for the Heart. The headlines of the coronavirus, along with the protests and unrest in our country, it's all been sweeping the news channels and social media. Some of you may be feeling fear, panic, anxiety, or even hopelessness. Well, the Bible gives you unfailing promises and inspiration that can empower you to live with hope. We just heard one of those references in Hebrews 6, verse 19 that says, we have this hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. June talks more about this hope in today's program. So let's listen.
Look around you right now. How much stability is there in your world, in your sphere? Do you see a whole lot of stability? Do you see people on track, purposeful? I'll tell you, I've never been in quicksand, but I don't want to try it. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is called the anchor for the soul, firm and secure? We have this hope, it says in Scripture. We have this hope. But why not? We have this love, the anchor for our souls. Why is it we have this truth, the anchor for our souls? We have this hope. What is this hope business? I do know about hope, especially the first 4 hours of a diet. I'm very, very hopeful. I just know I can get there, and it's just a little harder after that. I think a lot of us operate with hope. By the way, I don't think it's wrong to hope for certain things that have nothing to do with Jesus in particular, but I will tell you that we've got to make sure that we are correct in our thinking out, and therein is the problem. We have fuzzy thinking at times. We think we can name it and claim it for this because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So whatever you ask for, you get. That is the theology that many people live with. There are very interesting dynamics when we look at the concept of hope. And my prayer that when we finish our time together, you're going to end up really loving the fact that you have that anchored life. I want you to have an anchored life. I want you to be firm and secure, not because of you, but because of Jesus. Because that's what he's about. He's there to secure you. He's there to stabilize you. Because that's what anchors do. They stabilize. There isn't a sailor on earth who would go to sea without an anchor on the ship. That's what we need to realize. We are on the sea of life. The aim is we need an anchored life. You need an anchored life. And you need to live like you have an anchored life. It's not just having an anchor but never using it. You know, it's interesting. I was on a ship and I saw this huge anchor, humongous ship, all these, like 16 levels. I did see an anchor. It wasn't doing any good there. You can have an anchor on your boat, but is it operating in the way that God wants you to have that anchor? We are told in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The surrounding verses tell you that anchor is Jesus. It is Jesus Christ. Every true Christian has been given such an anchor in Christ. What I am very aware of is the changing thought about hope. This is why it's so important that we get our thinking straight, because as long as we have Jesus as our anchor, truth will set us free. So let's get truth in our minds, and let's be sure we're all in the same boat here. What I'm wanting us to look at is the word hope itself. What is hope? I'm going to use two terms that I have not seen anywhere else, but I'm choosing to do it this way. I'm identifying it as cultural hope means an optimistic desire that something will be fulfilled. An optimistic desire that something will be fulfilled. This type of hope is subject to change because it's based on circumstances that can change and people that can change. Periodically, I'll hear somebody say, oh, I'm hoping for my husband. I'm hoping for my son, my daughter. I'm claiming him. What they're saying is, I am believing. Actually, that's more the phrase that's used, is I'm believing for my son. I'm believing for my friend who these people they're talking about are messed up, whether they're wayward, involved with the wrong kind of friends, or if it's adultery, whatever it is, it could be gambling, it could be any kind of addiction. It doesn't matter what the addiction is. Can you say, I am believing and that is assured? Because this is what people will tell you. It is sure. I am sure that my husband will return. I want us to look at that in a moment. Because there's a second kind of hope. I'm calling it Christian hope. I used to call this biblical hope. I used to say it's secular hope and biblical hope. And I really believed that until I was preparing for this time together. I mean, I had often said biblical hope, secular hope. And then I read a passage where Paul was writing that he hoped for something and it was a changeable circumstance. I went, oh. So even the Greek word, elpis, can mean both. So the issue is not the word, it's the context of the word. There's a literary principle. I think it's applicable for every single person in this room, every single person, anytime we read anything. It's context is king. Repeat that. Context is king. One more time. Context is king. So when you read a verse or a sentence or a paragraph in the Bible, what is the context? What's the meaning of the entire book of that Bible? What about the surrounding words, sentences, paragraphs? Because this is where we get into fuzzy thinking. This is where we get off in our thinking. And we get unbiblical, in fact, using the Bible because of the interpretation. So what I'm now doing is using terms Christian hope as to what I used to call biblical hope, but Christian hope is an optimistic assurance that something will be fulfilled. This hope is not subject to change because it is anchored in our unchangeable God. Is Jesus God? Yes. Jesus is God the Son. If he is all powerful, and he is, and if he lives inside you as a Christian, which he does within every Christian, then you have the power and the right to claim every promise that he has said. And that's the key. What has God said is applicable to every believer.
This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. You know, it's no accident that the word hope is in the name of this ministry. Sharing God's hope and providing practical help for life's hurts, life's storms, and life's challenges is exactly why we're here. There's more about this solid and unchanging hope coming up, so don't go away. Today you're getting an idea of how the unwavering hope of Jesus Christ can be a life preserver in any storm. Find out more about this hope when you visit hopefortheheart.org or call 800-488-HOPE. Again, hopefortheheart.org or 800-488-4673. Now let's get back to June for more about this lasting hope.
As we look at hope, there's one key point that I would say that is probably the best news of all the scriptures in terms of what it says when we're talking about hope. And it's Romans 5:5. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And by the way, we've all suffered. I mean, nobody wants to suffer. I don't want to suffer. And yet, I can tell you I have learned more from my suffering. I've learned more through the trials than I ever have through the successes. So I should, and I must rethink when I want to go, oh no, I don't want to go through that. Isn't this that forging area for me? Isn't this where God gave me compassion? Isn't this why I even would do Hope in the Night? Because I understand. I may not share everything that was in my background, but, you know, I sure can hurt with people when they're touching that tender chord from my background. So suffering produces perseverance. By the way, we're told to rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. If you have character, if you have integrity, if you say you're a Christian and you really mean it to the world and you mean it to yourself, then you've got to apply the truth for your life. You've got to apply the promises of God for your life. You've got to say, okay, if I'm going to be a person of integrity, then I've got to look at what does God say for me? What about my attitude? Am I a negative thinker? Am I a grouch? And, you know, do I go around sharing information that you shouldn't be sharing? We could call it slander. There are all these things that we can do. And all of us have traps. I'm talking about temptations where one person, it might be an explosive temper. For years, for me, I wouldn't explode at all. But, oh, could I be quiet? And hold on to that quietness a lot longer than I needed to. It's one thing when your heart's hurt and you go inward. It's another thing when now you're trying to use it as a weapon. We all have those things. And we need to be honest and say, you know, sometimes I have used this. Yeah, these are my areas of temptation. Be honest about it. And this is where we say, if I really have character, I'm not going to just say, I'm just going to do what I want to do. It doesn't matter. Look at all these other good things I do. And it's the balancing scale. The good outweighs the bad. That is not an anchored life. That's not an anchored life. Because that's not allowing the Lord Jesus Christ conform you to his character. And that is the number one desire that he has. Now, I said there was something fantastic about hope in this particular scripture. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, which is great. And character, hope. And here's the line I love. And hope does not disappoint us. Hopelessness is the state of absolute despair with no expectation of good. No expectation. Things can't change. I can't change. My life will not change. And that's the true belief. A person gets there, and they're not making this up, and this is what they really, really believe. If they've gotten to a hopeless state. In the New Testament, in certain translations of the Bible, there is not the word hopeless or hopelessness. There is the word despair, and it would be one and the same. Those who are hopeless strugglers are destitute, bankrupt. They're the poorest of the poor in regard to hope. And it's at this point you have to be very careful because somebody could be suicidal. If somebody is at a point of despair, if they're at a point where they say there is no hope, they do not see any viable options for their lives. I mentioned to you that I did see this in Scripture with the Apostle Paul. Paul had appealed to Caesar. There was a monkey trial that some people were trying to get him into. So instead, because he had Roman citizenship, he appealed to Caesar, which enabled him to escape the Jewish persecution that he was facing. Because he appealed, he was sent to Rome as a prisoner. So here he's with all these other prisoners. He did not feel it was wise, and stated so, to take this trip at this particular time. It was going to be inclement weather. We're talking about such a treacherous storm in Acts 27, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. He was absolutely convinced that every one of them would die. When that occurs, people do some erratic things. If a person who is hopeless needs an anchored life, let's understand what an anchor is. And I want you to know, I did not grow up around the marine world, meaning I've always lived in Texas. I've traveled a number of places, but that's more like just for speaking. You go and you come back. And I've never lived on the Gulf or any place where there was boats and ships and all. Let's just understand physically what an anchor is. It's just a heavy device attached to a boat or a ship by a cable. It's actually called a rode, R-O-D-E. And this rode is attached to the anchor, and then they are cast overboard. They're cast into the water in order to hold the vessel firmly in place. I thought it's interesting that the Greek word ankoura, from ankus, it means curve. And so we get our word anchor from the Greek. We see in the Bible, there'll be a reference to the anchor or anchors. In fact, it was Paul, during this treacherous time in Acts 27:29, he said, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every person right now that's hearing, not my words, but God's word to you, if every single person would, from this point on, have an anchored life? It's interesting that the anchor was the predominant Christian symbol for a number of years in particular. The important thing to understand here is the anchor truly represents Christ as a Christian symbol. And it's because of this scripture, Hebrews 6:19, that we have this hope, an anchor for our souls, firm and secure, and it's talking about Jesus. The important thing for us to understand is it's because of security. It's not emotion. A lot of people want to go to church and feel different. They want to go commune with God and feel different. I'm not against feelings. Feelings should be the natural byproduct, though, of a legitimate, correct, accurate relationship with God. And many times that's not the case. It's just interesting to know that, especially in the early church, when this anchor was a symbol, the reason was because of the severe persecution that was taking place. Obviously, Christians were being taken as a group or certain individuals into an arena for sport, for the lions to kill. Christians were literally put up as torches to light the way. It's inconceivable, the brutality, but they would set fire to Christians on the stake. So just to know that you're a Christian, to be found out that you're a Christian, it was life-threatening. Well, what was interesting was the anchor was a disguised cross in the view of Christians. And it became a marker, in other words, a guide to certain meetings that would take place. They would indicate where they would be. And on one in particular, it has a shaft and then the two arms. And at the top, there's a bar. And sometimes you'll even see a cross on top of, I think it's like an emblem for certain organizations, where there'll be the anchor and then the cross on it. But actually, it's because it really looks like a cross with that crossbar at the top. So you have the shank, that's the vertical, and the stock across the top. And it reminded, therefore, those early Christians, those who were in severe peril, of where meetings would take place, secret meetings. It would be the indicator of the meeting place. By the way, they found many, many etchings and catacombs using the anchor as a specific symbol. Of course, the anchor is used as a marine symbol to represent hope and steadfastness. What we know for sure is, I think it's fascinating, there are hundreds of songs, Christian songs, that use the word anchor. I just am amazed. I'd never noticed this many until I was thinking, well, I wonder what song would use the word anchor, and then there are all these Christian songs. Well, that's because of being steadfast. That's security. And we need security. You need an anchored life. I want you to repeat that after me. I need an anchored life. And I want you to say, I'm anchored to Jesus. I'm anchored to Jesus. I need an anchored life.
I need an anchored life.
I'm anchored to Jesus.
I'm anchored to Jesus.
You know, he doesn't change. He's never going to change. He's going to be steadfast and true. And his promises will always be consistent with absolute truth. There will never be deceit. There's no lying. There's no hedging. The motives are always pure. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, life is going to have its struggles, pain, and heartache, but God has given us an anchor that can keep you grounded and hopeful through any storm. You're listening to Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. There's a free download that you can get today. It's a quick guide to the Christian hope that June talked about, and you could find it at hopefortheheart.org. You can also find other resources that provide hope and help. Again, hopefortheheart.org or call 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And for more about this broadcast, go to our mobile app. You can find that when you search for Hope for the Heart in your app store. Or visit our website, hopefortheheart.org, to listen to this program again and find out more about this one true hope. Now, with a closing word of hope, here again is June.
We've all been in the same boat with cloudy thinking about hope. The common view of hope in our culture is quite different from Christian hope. If you live by cultural hope, you'll have a boat full of wishful thinking, and what you hope for will sometimes happen and sometimes not. However, Christian hope is based on the Bible, God's unchanging word. By patiently relying on what God says, you will have all the hope necessary with all the certainty you'll ever need. It's crucial that we have an accurate understanding of what hope really means. The Bible says when your hope is anchored in Christ, he will teach you his truth and lead you in the way you should go. The prayer from Psalm 25:5 is yours to claim. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. When we live with Christian hope, with biblical hope, we have an anchored life. We're held steady in the midst of the storm. Christian hope is always based on the guaranteed promises of God, and it's a hope that will never disappoint you.
You're listening to June Hunt and Hope for the Heart. So many things over these past months have brought about uncertainty, grief, injustice, and maybe even a feeling of hopelessness. However, as June reminded us, by patiently relying on what God says, you will have all the hope necessary with all the certainty you'll ever need. Today, June connected us with the truth about our one true hope and how this hope can be the steady anchor of your soul. Sharing God's hope through biblical principles and practical help is why this ministry exists. You see, hope changes history, and together we can share his story and change lives with the hope of Christ. Here's more.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Well, on behalf of June Hunt and all of us at Hope for the Heart, thank you for your prayers. For June Hunt, I'm Joe Wolf. As you move into this weekend and celebrate the 4th of July, remember that there is hope no matter the circumstance. Have a great weekend and meet us back here on Monday for more Hope for the Heart.